changes, but it's getting better all the time. There's nothing new and I won't do. Let's stop the world. I'll stop the world and melt with you. Getting better all the time. There's nothing new and I won't do. Let's stop the world. I'll stop the world and melt with you. Let's stop the world. I'll stop the world and melt with you. Let's stop the world. I'll stop the world and melt with you.
Welcome to the Insomnia Stream, Different Worlds Edition. I'm your host, of course, Devin Stack. Hope you're having a good week so far. Hope you're having a good morning, evening, afternoon, whatever time it might be for you on this spinning globe that we live in, on, rather. It's been kind of weird over here. But I guess that's always the that's always the reality. Things are always a little bit weird over here. Anyway, more on that later, maybe. But not to tease or whatever. But I don't know. Spring, right? Spring has sprung. Everything's starting to flower up. Lots of bee movement. In fact, I should be getting the package of bees that I was supposed to get last week. Of course, they didn't ship it. And it should arrive tomorrow. I'm only getting one this year because, I don't know. The European bees just don't seem to be surviving out here. So I'm going to do a little race mixing with the bees, I think. We'll find out what's if that works out. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny because that's actually what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about race mixing. And perhaps how the ruling class might have looked at things the same way. You know, it's kind of like when we watch Bullworth, that movie Bullworth, where at the end of the movie, he basically says, literally, like he says, I'm sort of paraphrasing, but it's pretty close to this, that there won't be racism anymore if we keep fucking each other until we're all the same color. And I actually think that was a theory or maybe an aspiration of the ruling class, not just Jews, although Jews would love that too. And look, we don't need that much proof. I mean, obviously Kalergi plan, everyone knows about that. The plan where they wanted to have a permanent underclass made up of, mixed race mutt people. And so you could have this elite class that would run everything, this very Jewish elite class that would run everything. You know, of course, they'd allow a few WASPs in there. They'd let, like, the Tucker Carlsons of the world. They would let the Elon Musks of the world, because, you know, he's part Jewish, at least. They'd let the, you know, maybe the Trumps of the world, because, you know, he's marrying into it. They'd let the goy slaves, like, you know, the Pete Hegseths of the world, you know, the white Zionists of the world, let that stock keep breeding, because, you know, they come in handy when Israel needs a war to be fought for them. But they would breed people basically the same way that I'm trying to breed bees to best suit me. And if you get unusual side effects or results, and you will, you never know what's going to happen when you start race mixing, not just people, but animals or anything like that. You get gene pairings that are, sometimes you do get like the hybrid vigor, as they call it, but sometimes you get horrific shit. But the funny thing is, up until very recently, even in America, and at least, I mean, I don't know about the rest of the world, but up until very recently, race mixing was just considered taboo. And not just by white people, but by black people too. In fact, all you have to do is look back at movies even from, say, 20 years ago, where they have, it could be a movie about a high school, and they have the black friend, right? Because, you know, 20 years ago, every character wasn't black, but they'd throw in one, right? And miraculously, if it was at a high school, right, the black friend was dating the only black girl at the school, you know? And, or if it wasn't about a high school, if it was about grown-ups in the office somewhere, same thing. They'd pair them up with people who are race appropriate. And it wasn't just because of white people that they did this. It was looked down, race mixing was, by black people as well. In fact, you know, obviously very vocally by people like Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali. There's that famous interview where he's talking about how the bluebirds go with bluebirds. And how he wants his kids to look like him. But generally speaking, it was fairly normal to not be into race mixing. And so, like everything, every societal change that they want to force onto the public, they have to socially engineer it. They have to normalize it. And now people look at all the advertisements today that have the, you know, the usual pairing of the, it's always a guy too. It's always a black guy with a white woman. It's always a black guy with a white woman. It's never white guys with black women. I mean, maybe every once in a while they'll do that, but, you know, far and away, it's more the black guy with the white woman. And the reason they do that is because, well, first of all, no one likes black women, not even black guys. So it just doesn't, it's less believable. It's less believable that people just have to have black women. Like, that just, you know, that's literally, and there's statistics that show this from dating apps, where black women are the least desirable of every kind of person you can be. You know, they're less desired. And that, by the way, they're less desired by blacks, they're less desired by Asians, obviously, white people, Mexicans, it doesn't matter. They're the least desirable group on any dating app. And so that's one of the reasons why they do it. The other reason is because white women can produce, I mean, it's the womb. You know, they're the baby factory. And so if, you know, a white guy can go around, he can make hundreds of kids all day long, but white women or women in general, you can't. You have like a limited amount of of womb activity that can take place before it wears out, so to speak. And so if you sully it, if you damage it, and look, we already know, we don't, I mean, everyone's seen the memes. You don't have to, in fact, I'm glad if nothing else, it does seem like very slowly it's getting normalized for white guys to not want to date white women that have, you know, black little kids. And even in some cases that have even had black boyfriends. So I mean, I think that social change, it's slowly in some instances recovering from all the social engineering that bombarded Americans. Starting around, well, we covered that movie, Guess Who's Coming Over for Dinner, or whatever that with that guy, the guy he was in another movie too, The Defiant Ones. Sidney Poitier, the well-spoken black man, the Barack Obama of black actors from the 1960s, where they brought him out to show white audiences, like, look, it wouldn't be so bad. But that was a big deal. It was, that was, movie was banned in some cities. And, you know, that was super fucking edgy for the time. But by the 90s, it wasn't so edgy. By the 90s, while you didn't see it so much in movies still, and you did, it was still pretty taboo as far as audience perception. It wasn't taboo in terms of if you were to, like, it's one thing for an audience to watch a movie or a TV show where there's a black and a white, a black guy and a white girl together. And it's one thing for them to have that visceral response, not want to watch the show anymore, not, you know, be repulsed by it, have some kind of instinctual warning signs, warning bells going off inside their head. But if you were to ask those same people who would not have liked the movie, they would never explicitly say that that's why. In fact, if you were to ask them, is it okay for a white woman to date a black guy? Even the ones that didn't think so would say yes, because they'd feel pressured to say yes. Deep down inside, they wouldn't like it, but they would think, as many did, as the social engineering was rewriting the firmware for everybody, they would think, you know, I guess these instinctual feelings that I have, this is proof of my internalized racism. You know, that this is this sense that I have that I can't quite articulate, that this is wrong. In the context of today's society, I guess that is. It's like it's residual bigotry. That's just, it's kind of just still like a I guess a side effect of the my racist white history. In fact, I'll be honest, there was a time where even I mean, not with in terms of race mixing, but like in terms of just black people in general, you know, before I learned about race and IQ, where I was like, you know, maybe I'm just meeting all the stupid ones, or maybe it is environment, or, you know, like maybe this instinctual, you know, very, very strong feeling coupled with pattern recognition. Maybe I'm wrong, because that's how powerful the propaganda was. You start to doubt yourself, like, I don't know, maybe I am just like a dickhead here. Maybe, you know. And it's because they start early with this shit. They start really early with this shit. What we're going to cover tonight is a after-school special put on by CBS in 1993 to promote race mixing. And it wasn't just promoting race mixing for white, you know, to normalize it with white people, but it was also trying to normalize it with black people, because again, it was still frowned upon, especially from black women, for black men to be with white women. And because that was the only race mixing that ever happened. You know, like it's very unusual for a white guy to be with a black woman. It happens. You always wonder how, but it happens. You know, it's a weird statistic. I think those are the, actually, I think I have a theory about this. The least likely to divorce interracial pairing is black woman with white man. Now, here's my theory about that. I think it's because women typically are the ones that initiate divorce. And black women, there's no fucking way they're going to divorce a white guy, because it's all downhill from there. So that's, and it sounds funny, but I think that's really why that happens. It's like they won the lottery and they know it. And there's no fucking way they're going to do any better than that. Yeah. I think they're going to find another white guy. So anyway, that's an interesting statistic nonetheless. Doesn't happen very often, but when it does, you know, those black women hang on, they hang on for dear life. Yeah. They love that BWC. Anyway, without further ado, this is, like I said, in the 90s, early 90s, 90, 93. Kids coming home from school would sit down and watch the CBS School Break Special. Went a little something like this.
Messages.
Fallout here means more than growling a young buck. It's a time of crisp, clean morning air, and the sound, thundering stampede. It's a time when horses come down from the high pasture, and a man prepares for another tough winter. It's time for a nigger hair, an American cigarette.
And now back to the CBS School Break Special.
So this one's called Different Worlds. Different Worlds. Starts, you know, obviously it's because you know, blacks and whites, they come from different worlds. I wish they came from different worlds. Isn't that kind of what we're advocating for here? Is we want them to come from different worlds? I mean, isn't that kind of the thing? We should come from different worlds, but we don't. We don't. You know, it's going to be like 100 years from now, and they're still going to have to be doing this propaganda. It's so unnatural. It's so unnatural. Anyway. So this opens up, and it's got the black, at first it's got the cool 90s black guys, you know, very, very colorful, hats on backwards black guys. And they're all hanging out, like, talking all black and shit. And then get their friend and say, "Oh, you better stop macking on that bitch. She's dating like the big time jock in the school."
Man, I don't even know what that is.
Look,
She going over to start running back.
Yes.
I can handle him. And you can't even handle your homework. How you going to handle him?
No comment.
250 pounds.
Yeah, that's true.
No comment.
You do got a point there.
You better leave her alone.
You better step on fast.
I'm going to call you, all right? No, seriously, I'm going to call you.
One, two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we go over to the white part of the school. You got the white chick with her friend, and they're gossiping. But then they show that, oh, you know, even though there's white kids and black kids at this school, they all get along pretty well. They're all friends with each other. You know, she goes to the bus stop to go get a ride home, and she's talking to the black chicks and telling them, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go. I'll buy everyone chips and sodas if you guys want. And they're like, oh, fuck yeah, free Gibbs. And so she goes to the convenience store to get the chips and soda. Meanwhile, yet another, you know, it's a happy black guy chilling with his white friend. You know, no big deal, everything. Racial harmony, right? Racial harmony. And she goes in to get the chips and soda.
You got it?
Yeah. And that is what they call a meet cute.
So they have a little meet cute. Oh, look at that. I almost dropped this stuff. Oh, don't worry. I'll help you out. And then you find out the reason why the black guy's there talking to his cool white friend is his cool white friend told him that they were hiring at this convenience store. And that he should come try to get a job. Because, you know, the black man, they're always trying to get jobs. And he feels like he's just the man to do it.
Hey, that's him. I'm Mr. Rupert. This is my friend, the one I was telling you about.
Well, the cashier's job after school?
Yeah, sorry. It's been filled.
Sorry about that, man.
Sorry, bro. Didn't know that my boss was racist. And it's funny because even back then, a convenience store owner, especially a convenience store owner, would know that the natural enemy of convenience stores is black people. That's basically like, it's like hiring a wolf to watch your sheep. The dumbest fucking idea ever. And this was 93. Come on. You guys think this shit is new?
Take a look at this video for the
this
first
shit
time.
Isn't new.
On NBC
the internet
four.
Is new.
Video of
and everyone having cameras is new.
A convenience store, many of them stealing items worth hundreds of dollars.
Inside a convenience store, and according to the owner here, they walk into this Las Vegas city stop very calmly, and you can watch it. Doesn't look like much is going on. The owner says his lone worker who was there did exactly what he was supposed to do when he realized that some of the young girls were stuffing cans of soda into their purses and things started to get rowdy. The clerk shut the register and stepped back. A few minutes later, the mob comes back. They call this a swarm. It is a group thug mentality.
Well, a lot of mayhem here, Chauncey and Susie, at the corner of La Cienega and Olympic.
It's a thug mentality.
We actually
mentality.
Have some ground video to show you of the aftermath. It was reportedly 50 teams that came in with masks and just kind of took over the store, caused a lot of damage, and then
damn
apparently
thugs.
Stole a lot of cigarettes. In fact, even from our vantage point here, as I put up the magnifying glass, you can still see some of the mayhem here that these poor employees and the owners of the shop still have to clean up. Just over here, there's a lot of broken glass.
Yeah, so Mr. Rupert is, he's just ahead of his time. He just knows he doesn't want to make his convenience store any blacker than it needs to be. So, be that as it may, the white guy's like, sorry, bro, didn't know my old boomer boss was a fucking racist. So the chick goes to get some more drinks. Ah, Speaking of black people, but they cover them all up so you can't tell. Is he a black guy? Statistically, yes. So there's just some guy, again, back before there were cameras everywhere, the fact that he could just walk in there and not be on camera. So he's right. This mystery guy is about to hold up the joint. The longest, most boringest slow motion burglary ever. It just keeps going. Oh no, quick. So Mr. Rupert runs off and grabs the cops and he's like, come in here. My cashier got shot. And the cops are like, I bet it was that black guy, or he has something to do with it.
He was just talking about basketball. God, he was ready for Saturday.
His mustache didn't even go
in. I had a lot of black friends, by the way, and played football and everything.
I'm saying it like he's dead. I mean, maybe he's not dead. They're out there. They're working on him. Maybe.
So he was shot. It was his head. It's over.
Okay, you two the only witnesses?
I guess.
Okay, let's see some IDs.
So even though the cop's black, as we well know, even black cops are racist against black people. I like how that doesn't give, this is the level of racial narcissism among blacks, that doesn't give them pause, you know? They're like, you know, even the black cops think we're up to something. I bet it's white people putting that poison, like that's what they do. They don't think to themselves, huh, even the black cops think we're up to something. Maybe we're just always doing something wrong, or at least enough to where even black cops, people who shouldn't have the racial bias, or if anything, I mean, just because it's true, blacks have very positive racial bias when it comes to their own people. So what would it take? What would it take to make a black cop racist? So he sits them down. He's very suspicious of the black kid, even though he's just—he was just there. He was a good boy, mind his own business. He didn't do nothing.
Was he black?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, must have some idea. Could he been a friend of yours?
What are you trying to say, that I had something to do with it?
We said he was all covered up. We couldn't see him.
You can go now.
What?
You ain't black. You can leave.
You're excused. We need anything else, we can contact you later. No, not you. You stay. That's all.
Yeah, because that's what it's like being a black man in today's society. Even the black cops are just like, you're free to go, whitey. Let us focus all of our attention on this fucking black Negro here. So the black cop's very racist and very suspicious of the black boy that didn't do anything wrong.
Why are you doing this to me?
What do you mean? I'm not doing anything to you.
But I didn't do anything.
You look kind of nervous. You got blood on your shirt. All right, you want to tell me?
You look so tough now, little nigga. Hate you black bastards. You stink. Hate your black skin. Hate your black pants.
What?
Tell me more about what happened.
Somebody shot Walrus.
Did you get the blood on your shirt?
I helped him.
You helped who?
Walrus.
What about the guy who shot Walrus?
I hate black pepper. I hate black keys on the piano. I hate my gums because they black. I hate Whoopi Goldberg's lips. I hate the back of Forrest Whitaker's neck. And most of all, I hate that black-ass Wesley Snipes.
So the black cop's like all super racist and shit. Interviews him for a while, harasses him. Finally, lets him go. Because for now, we'll find out what you're really up to, you goddamn nigger. We know what you're up to. So he's all upset. He walks outside and sees the girl that he was in the incident with. Decides to go and talk to her about it.
I just wish there was something I could do to help.
But you did.
I mean, I'm glad you were there. I'm sorry that you had to go through it, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah. I'm glad you were there, too.
I like how just the cop car driving by totally totally fucks with his game. He's like all getting into game mode, and then all of a sudden, sixth sense, my spidey sense. There's law enforcement nearby. So he keeps talking, and he's like, I'm glad you were there. You know, I don't think I could have made it through that incident without you. You know, sitting there screaming and doing nothing the whole time.
I'm Christine McLaughlin.
Junior.
Yeah.
I'm Jordan Murray. Senior.
Hi. Oh yeah. So now he's got his in. You know, going after them while they're vulnerable. That's the best time. Oh. Christine Loeffler, huh? Ah. My name's Jordan, you know, like Michael Jordan. No relation, of course. So he goes home, and his parents basically live in the Cosby's house. You know, it's a very upper middle class, 90s, early 90s decor. I think my parents had a dining set that looked a lot like that. They got the full spread. The dad is there. That's probably like the most unrealistic thing about everything. The mom's cooking dinner. Nobody's 300, 400 pounds overweight. So, that's how black people live. Meanwhile, back at the white chick's home.
Hi, why were you there?
I had to buy a notebook.
Why didn't you tell me?
What, that I had to buy a notebook?
I told you that things are getting bad. It isn't like the way it was. I don't want you going there by yourself.
Well, Billy, everybody goes...
What do you mean by things are getting bad? It's not like the way it was. What does that mean exactly in the context of 1993, in the context of this incident? Is there maybe a racial element to this change that's taking place in your society? By things getting bad, do you perhaps mean there are way less white people living in your neighborhood? And so there's more crime and it's not as safe. And now things as simple as going to a convenience store to buying chip for, you know, for buying chips and soda, you're basically rolling the dice with your life. That basically you could be killed without warning for just doing the most basic of things. Well, they don't say that, but yes, that's exactly obviously what was going on. I lived it. I lived it in the 90s. We moved from a very, very white neighborhood. My dad got a job in one of the most horrific, I think it's probably still bad, towns in America, really. And in fact, I think when I lived there, it was rated in the top 10 for the most violent crime in America. A beautiful little place called Stockton, California. Good old Stockton, California. And it was California. So houses were expensive. And my dad did not make a lot of money yet. And he had, gosh, I guess like at that point, five kids, maybe four and a half by the time we moved there. And so he needed kind of a big house to fit all the kids in. And we lived on the edge of where white people lived. As in the next house, or the house rather behind our house, wasn't a house. It was a duplex, government housing. Like it was, if I jumped over my back fence, I'd be in government housingville. If you left your bike outside, it would get stolen. Happened to me. Happened to lots of my friends. If you left anything really outside, it would get stolen. And the frustrating thing for me was, I remember I left a little scooter. Not like a motorized scooter, but like a scooter you stand on, and you know, I guess they still like they have like the Zoomer version of that has the much smaller wheels, but back then they had bigger wheels, but it was the same thing. I left it outside for like not even that long. Like I think my mom called us in for dinner, and I put it on the porch and went inside, and then after dinner I went out and it was gone. And I told my parents, and they were mad at me for leaving it outside. And it's like, okay, I kind of get that. I kind of get it. I actually do. I kind of get it because you need to train white kids when they're in dangerous environments to act as though they're in dangerous environments, to never relax. But I was also like, I was like 7 or 8 or something. And you're the one that put me in the dangerous environment. And you were also not, I don't think that you were very much blaming the people who stole it. I think that they were mad at me. Like I'm the one that got the scooter. I should have known better. Don't you know we live close to niggers? You should have known better than that. It's like, well, then maybe we shouldn't live close to, I mean, if what, really? And yes, really. And it really didn't matter because not too long after that or before, I forget the exact timing of it, but we had people jump over our fence and steal bikes out of our backyard. You know? So, like, anything that you didn't lock down, if it wasn't, if it wasn't totally locked up somewhere, they would steal it. And even if it was locked up, they might steal it. Lots of burglaries in the area because, like I said, we were on the fucking edge. And it wasn't just the black people actually where I lived. It was jungle Asians, a whole bunch of Cambodians, Vietnamese, Yeah, same story. High in-group preference. High, I don't know, like criminality. High violence. Anyway, so that's what he's talking about here. He's like, listen, you know, thanks to them opening the ruling class, just letting anyone and everyone into the country and not allowing for segregation, it's just not as safe anymore. So, and he's mad at her. It's the same thing. He's mad at her for wanting to go to a convenience store to buy chips and soda. She's the one that did something wrong. And again, I kind of get it. Because you need, you know, especially when you're talking about little kids or when you're talking about women, you got to put it, you got to get it through their skulls that, hey, not everyone's as nice as the people inside this house. And it's going to get increasingly worse because in addition to just their behavioral patterns, they all pretty much kind of hate white people. You know, it's like when you hear about the scam calls and all this other stuff, and they're all from India and Nigeria and stuff like that. Part of the reason why I think they can justify it is because they all fucking hate white people. They're just stealing from white people. So it's like, it's okay. People don't realize how many how many races have racial animus towards whites. In fact, you can even say, well, Jews have different rules. It could be every race. You know, if you're not Jewish, there's literally different rules on how you can treat them. But anyway, so he's like, you dumb bitch. Don't go to the convenience store anymore. Those places aren't safe.
There. Tell me what you need and I'll go get it for you.
What are you talking about, Billy? Billy, what is going on?
She was in Rupert's.
Oh my God. Are you all right?
So the mom finds out that she was around a shooting. Meanwhile, the unrealistic black family, the dad's very much involved with his son's life and wants him to study for those tests because, you know, those college admittance exams or the SATs or ACTs or whatever you're going to take, it's right around the corner, boy.
You get known from here, you understand? That college test is coming up. And
I know it's coming up, Dad.
That's right. That's what it's like in black households, not just in the 90s, but today, right? Because if anything, things would have gotten better, right? Like if this was what it was like in a black household 30 years ago, with how much money and resources we've pumped into elevating blacks to the level of whites, I mean, this depiction here would be outdated, right? This would seem condescending because blacks would have elevated themselves to these new heights. Then, of course, once the little girl leaves the room, the father, who knows about what happened today at the convenience store, has to drop some black wisdom on his likewise naive son, his racially naive son. See, it's not just the little white girls who don't know anything about race and the racial tensions in America and why you can't go to convenience stores if you're a white girl. There's the opposite version of that.
Boy, oh boy. I just hope when they find him, he isn't black.
Black or white, he killed Juarez just the same.
It won't be just the same, son.
It's not like that, Dad. Look, it probably was some fool who was high. Could have been anything. I mean, Juarez was white, but he was regular, Dad.
You don't have to tell me, son. I work with him all day long. But a shooting like this can rile folks up. And the main thing is that you don't want to be caught in the middle of it. You understand?
Look, I said I can deal with it, okay?
right.
Another more dangerous than white people. It isn't, especially in the post George Floyd world. Isn't it interesting that the big worry here is if they find out that he's black, that the black people are going to be in danger? That what exactly is going to happen to this family in any universe if, as is statistically likely, they find out the murderer is a black guy? What's going to happen? Are the white people going to go riot? Are white young men going to start roaming the streets and stringing up every black person they find out, you know, hanging out after dark? Or are the parents of that boy, the white boy who got shot, are they going to go on national television and say it's not about race and they're disgusted by the people making it about race and it's a tragedy? What's more likely? So you see, in this propaganda from 1993, it's the black people that got to worry. They got to worry because every time one of the bad ones, it totally doesn't represent the majority of blacks, totally doesn't represent them at all. If the white people find out that it's a black guy, there's going to be hell to pay. Somehow, I don't know what hell there would be to pay. Here's the thing. There's not even like an example of that, right? Unless we go back to like the days of lynchings. And when the days of lynchings happened, they lynched the guy that did it, not every black person. Oh, a black guy raped a white woman. Let's murder every black person within 100-mile radius. That's never happened. So he's like, okay, son, I work with them. I work with white people. I know what they're like. You got to watch out, son. So his son walks upstairs and, of course, starts studying as young black men are known to do, studying for his college test.
Hello?
Hi, it's George. Are you alright?
Sure. No, not you. I can't stop thinking about it, you know?
The gloves and the guns and
that weird popping sound.
So he immediately starts hitting on the white chick, and they talk all into the night. Because they find out, they have so much in common. Even though they come from different worlds. Different worlds. And she's like, oh, he's so sweet. He's so sweet. I love him. I think I love him already. The next day, of course, the cops are going around harassing all the black people. Just for no reason at all. They're just grabbing black people. They're like, come here. I'm going to illegally search you without cause for no reason and then just hope to find something, because that's what we do with black people. We're just looking for a reason to put them in jail.
Man, I don't have anything. Damn.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Leave him alone.
Miles. Nothing.
I like how the cops are, oh, okay. Well, anyway, bye. I just want to make sure you didn't have anything. I don't know what exactly we were looking for, but okay. Well, anyway, we're going to go. Have a nice day. Actually, they don't even say that. They're just like, okay. Let's go. Let's leave. So the cops drive off, and the black man's all mad. He's like, I can't believe them racist cops always harassing the black man.
What's going on, Miles?
Man, I don't even know what they thought I had, man. What do they think I had, huh? What do they think I had?
Calm down, Mouse. Calm down. It's over, man. Come on, let's go. Get them, Mouse. Come on. It's over, Mouse.
Five minutes later.
I've got a truck full of nine. Cut ya and I'll spike ya. I got the makeup by the hater. Ready to buck, buck, buck. And it's a must to duck, duck, duck. Before I bust. Looking for the one that...
And in real life, no, you never the blacks will be rioting.
The one with the fat man skills. And I won't jump like the Buffalo Bill. Sitting at the pad just chilling.
Funny thing is, this is all footage from around 1993.
That nigga has passed me the pill. And I'll slam dunk it like Shaquille O'Neal.
So that was all footage from around 1993. that's really what would have happened. Anyway, so meanwhile, back at the school the next day, all the white kids with their very 90s haircut. I had that exact haircut. Those guys, that haircut. I had that exact haircut. So did everyone, though, really. Like, every white... That was like the... You know, Zoomers have, like, the weird Zoomer afro thing because they all want to be black. But this was, like, the wavy... I don't even know what you'd call that. That was, like, the 90s. Is that ever going to come back? Actually, it doesn't look that bad. It doesn't look bad. Like, you look back at some hairdos, you know, like, the 80s especially. Oh, God. Like, it's just... All across the board, women, men, it just... In fact, that's the shitty thing. Mullets are coming back. How the fuck are mullets coming back? Mullets weren't even cool when they were around the first time. Mullets were always a fucking joke. Anyway, out of everything to come back from the 90s, there were still mullets in the 90s. When did mullets first get developed? Who? I feel like they're Canadian. Is that wrong? I feel like mullets came from up north. You know, like the whole, you know, long and back for the ladies, short in the front for the fellas. Like, I kind of feel like that whole thing came in, you know, that was from the Great White North. I don't know. Maybe it didn't. But, yeah, so mullets for some reason. But, yeah, the whatever this is, I don't even know what this is called. You know, isn't this like the John Connor haircut from Terminator, which came out like maybe that's why every kid had that haircut, because that's what that kid that played John Connor had. Isn't that? I'm gonna find a picture. Now I gotta find a photo of this guy. Let's see here. Isn't that the kid that got raped to death or something? That's like every kid that worked in Hollywood in the 90s. Speaking of which, they're doing a remake of Malcolm in the Middle. And Dewey is not reprising his role. And there's definitely some rumors about why that might be. Yeah, okay, here's, hold on. His is a little bit different. Let me bring this up here. Here we go. Da, da, da. Yeah, that's a little more like the Christian Slater look. That's like the 90s Christian Slater haircut. It's close. They're related. it's not quite the same. I guess the this guy, it's more like the Zach from Saved by the Bell haircut. But, every kid had that. It doesn't look bad. It's a little hard to maintain. A lot of hairspray required to keep that going. Maybe that's what it is. Just too much of a pain in the ass. Anyway, so the white kids are mourning the loss of their white friend that was gunned down for no good reason at all. Everyone's upset. Of course, the white chick that was in the convenience store has to tell her, go gossip to her friend about the new boy she's been talking to.
So, spill the beans.
Oh, it was nothing.
Chris, you're talking to me.
Okay. I was talking to this guy, Jordan.
Who's Jordan?
Well, he saw the shooting with me yesterday.
Really?
He's right over there. He's right there. The black guy right there. So the black guy, Jordan, is talking to his black friends, and they're actually, it's kind of funny. They're in the stage before the riot happens. The let's all get mad together about oppression and yell about how we didn't do nothing and the cops are always breathing down our necks, even though we never do anything. We never do anything at all. They just want to arrest us for no reason.
And that ain't all.
Where's Miles?
I don't think Miles will be coming to school today.
Why?
Because the cops shook him down on Carville for no reason.
Is he okay?
Yeah, they didn't find anything, so they drove away.
You're right, they didn't find anything because they're not looking for anything. Jordan, don't you get what's going on?
Yeah, that sounds like fucking Tracy Morgan, doesn't he? He sounds like exactly like Tracy. Is that Tracy Morgan?
Anything because they're not looking for anything. Jordan, don't you get what's going on?
Something tells me that guy cannot pronounce the word ask.
Man, they're not looking for a single thing. The stuff about this white kid getting shot, they don't care about him either. All they want is another excuse to bust some nappy heads, and you know where I'm coming from, my brother.
I don't know. Warren's getting shot with something else, Ram. I don't know if it was part of that, man.
I know. Look. They already hassled Miles. They hassled me, too. Next time, it's going to be you, my brother.
So they're already getting ready for the race war. They're full on ready for the race war. Yeah, it's 1993. This shit's never going to go away. As long as we're forced to live together, it's never going to go away. It's never going to go away. You can make all the propaganda you want and spend all the fucking money you want and have all the black people speak at the RNC that you want, and it's never going to go away. It's never going to go away. Anyway, so the white chick is still trying to point out the boy she was talking to on the phone for so long last night to her friend.
He's wearing a black hat and a jean jacket. Don't be obvious. The black guy?
She's like, what? Really? But this kind of reminds me, it's kind of funny. Because, you know, it's intentional. You know, I've told the story about how my boomer mom started crying because I described one of my classmates as the kid with, like, the red coat. And when she looked over, the only kid with a red coat was a black guy. I think his name was Taiwan. Like, I'm not kidding. if memory serves, his name was Taiwan. And my mom just started crying. I was like, what's wrong? Because your mom cries, that freaks you out when you're a kid. And she was just so glad that she had solved racism. Her generation finally solved racism. Her little boy, her innocent little boy, didn't see race. He saw a red coat. He thought the best way to... It was a really red... In my defense, it was a really red coat. And there was more red showing than black. All right, like it was. I looked over, and the first thing about Taiwan that I noticed was like, it's a red coat. Anyway, same sort of thing, right? She's like, she could have just said that black guy over there, but she's like, he's the guy wearing the jeans jacket, and her friend's like, really? Ugh, gross. And the black guys they're all chatting it up about how they're going to do a revolution against the whites. and kill us all when we least expect it. Then, because he's been ignoring her, she decides to go talk to Jordan.
Hi.
Oh, how you doing?
Oh, sleepy. You?
I'm okay.
I never knew that your locker was so close to mine. I never noticed.
Yeah, it was kind of like a shadow, right?
What?
So he's being all dick style because, again, as much as he might want a little bit of that, they all low-key hate us. They all low-key are jealous and bitter because, and this is, look, this, if no other reason, the reason why there's always going to be tension, there's always going to be a problem, even if you ignore the violent tendencies, the low impulse control, all that fun stuff, and just focus on the aptitude and the IQ. If that's all you focused on, the bottom line is blacks will never perform at the level of whites, ever, ever, ever. I mean, unless we stopped evolving and then 50,000 years happened, then maybe they'd catch up. But I don't have 50,000 fucking years. So, realistically speaking, they're never going to catch up. They're never going to catch up. And because they're never going to catch up, they're never going to perform at our level, they will always be an underclass. Always. That we'll have to pay for, by the way. And they won't thank you for it. They will be angry. They will be angry because they want what you have, even though you're paying for what they have. And because white people can't just be honest about it and say, yeah, you're never going to actually perform at our level, and instead fill their head full of nonsense lies that like, oh yeah, study for your college test, whatever the fuck that means, boy. And you'll be able to, you know, you'll be president someday. Because they're filling black people's heads with that nonsense, and then the reality happens and it doesn't pan out, they have to conclude something. Like, what's stopping us from, you know, performing at the same level of white people? Well, it must be something the white people are doing. And the Asians, and the even the Mexicans. There's something everyone's doing. It's not just white people. Everyone is colluding together to keep black people down in every part of the world and every society that they exist in. I mean, that's the reality that you're telling them is the truth. Why wouldn't you be bitter? Why wouldn't you be pissed off? And so he's pissed off and bitter with this chick, even though he's trying to bang her.
So, how was history?
Oh, good. She asked all the dates, just like you said.
Miles said.
Oh, yeah, I know. You're ace.
Well, look, don't do that, okay?
What?
Talk black.
Don't, that's our words. That's our culture. Look, first of all, I agree. I think it's disgusting how much white people try to emulate black culture, try to emulate black speech patterns, and just try to, you know, be black. It's really fucking gay and gross. And I think the reason why it happens is because all this propaganda telling you, A, that being white is pretty much the worst thing you can possibly be. So acting as though you're white is out of the picture if you want to be acceptable. And then the other side of it is that black people, that's the coolest thing you could ever be. In fact, that's in a way, I think, why you have so many male, young men chopping their fucking dicks off and parading around like they're women. Same exact pressures are at play there. But this is unacceptable to him. This is, remember, this is 1993. People think the 90s were any different. They weren't any different. This was the 1993 version of My Culture Is Not a Costume. All this fucking bullshit has always existed. You can go back to the 60s, and they're saying the same shit. The only difference is most white people just ignored them back then. So it's not that things were better back in the 90s. It's just that, first of all, most people saying that shit were like kids in the 90s, so everything seemed better. I mean, as unbelievable as it might sound, there's going to be kids that are, kids that are kids right now, that in 20, 30 years will look back to like 2025 as the good old days, okay? That's just how everyone is. Because when you're a kid, everything is better. You don't have to have a job. Everyone's nice to you to some extent, you know? And you get like, you have like all your friends that you could ever want because there are no responsibilities. And no one that's your age group and that you're socializing with has any responsibilities either. So just it's just carefree fun. Yeah, it's childhood, right? I think that's why a lot of people look back in the 90s and think like, oh, we need to go back to that. Really? Yeah, not so much, buddy. So then he realizes his mistake. And it's kind of funny because he sort of articulates exactly what I'm talking about, how black people are fucking angry and bitter all the time and white people aren't.
You're not angry, are you?
Oh, sure. Walrus getting shot?
No, not that. I mean, everything.
Why would I be angry about everything? I mean, it's not like everything's okay or anything.
No, I mean you. I mean, basically, you're not angry.
Are you?
Yes. Yes, all the time. All the time. And that, which is true of most black people in white societies. Because again, why wouldn't you be? Why wouldn't you be? Why wouldn't you be frustrated and angry living in a society where you'll never be able to achieve, or at least not to the level that you'd want to? You'll never be able to compete effectively against the other people in the society. And the rules of the society are incompatible with your behavior. So he's like, damn, that's really intriguing that white people aren't just mad all the time. Huh. I actually kind of like that about her, that especially if he's only dated black women. Talk about pissed off all the time, right?
I'd be mad too if I was you.
But you're not mad, Chrissy. And that's all right. Actually, it's kind of nice to be around that.
Oh yeah, it's real nice being around that, if you know what I mean. All right, so anyway... Yeah, I mean, and look, maybe that's one of the reasons why, I'm being serious, maybe that's one of the reasons why black people feel this need, this desire to be around white people. You know, why they feel like it's their right. Yeah, you know, just because there is just something magnetic. Maybe just the aura of the white man is so powerful. I mean, they might act like they hate it. They might be bitter and angry, but ultimately it's jealousy and envy. And if given the chance, right? If the black guys hate white women until they have a chance with one, then all of a sudden the story changes. But then you find out that again, there's another part of this dynamic here that we've discussed. Black women, if anyone hates race mixing, especially when it comes to black men banging white chicks, it's black women. Black women fucking hate it. Because as I said, they're the least desirable group by everybody. But the group most likely to desire them is black guys. So when black guys are banging white chicks, it pisses them off. Because that's the only group they're likely to find a mate from. So when they see a black guy with a non-black woman, they just see their chances slipping between their fingers. I mean, that's really what it is. That's why they get so mad about it. I really do think it's like a survival thing. And I think that, you know, like when men, think of it this way, right? When white people, when white men see a black man with a white woman, that pisses us off, or not everybody, I guess, but like it pisses us off. That's hard to say fast. Because it's, there is almost like a similar thing, but it's not like, oh, we could only get white chicks. It's that there is a reproductive danger being demonstrated, right? You see that there's the peril of the existence of your race is imperiled when you see a black man with a white woman. Oddly enough, the same disgust, there is still disgust, but it's not the same. If you see a white guy with a non-white woman, it's not the same. And it's not because you look at the white woman, because like I feel this disgust even when it's like some ugly, you know, refrigerator looking white woman, you know. But when you see like a white guy with a non-white, it's more just like, what an idiot, you know, like it's not like the end of our reproductive future. You know what I mean? It's not as threatening. But for the opposite is true in the black community, right? I think it's because black women, like I said, that's the only option they've got. So it just enrages them on a personal level.
We're going for pizza after school.
Pizza? You and Jordan?
Yeah. Is there anything wrong with that?
What's this, Chris? An adventure?
Carol, it's not like that.
Oh, you don't think so?
What do you mean?
Like you taking a little trip to the black side, maybe.
You really think that that's what I'm doing?
You know what? Forget it. Why don't you guys have a great time, okay?
Hey, girl. You hungry?
Fuck you, nigga!
So she's just like, damn. I didn't think I would find racism like this. So this is, look, they try to address this too. They know that this is going to be some of the pushback. Some of the pushback is going to be from white people, and some of it's going to be from black people. And so they have to normalize it on both sides if they want this interracial love fest project to work.
I scoped you talking to that old babe.
Oh, it's not like that, Rand.
She's fly.
And I wouldn't touch it. Come on, man. It's not about anything. I'm telling you. She was there when the kid got shot. She was there when I needed somebody to talk to.
Well, listen up, Holmes. Find someone else to talk to. The only thing that white chick can give you is trouble.
Come on, man. You ever think about there's more to life than black or white?
There ain't. You black and she white. I gotta step.
Yeah, whatever.
Jordan can't make it to the cafeteria. He's got a date instead.
So the black people are mad about it. And again, they're not demonizing these black people. that all throughout have been demonstrating a fairly strong racial nepotism and solidarity. Like, even, yeah, the father was saying, you know, like, oh, I know white people more than you do. I work with them. They're going to freak out if they find out it's a black guy. You got the black woman saying, oh, don't date the black men. You got the black guy friend's like, I wouldn't touch that shit. That's nothing but trouble. Life is just black and white. It's a never-ending racial struggle for these people, and it always will be. Even if you're honest, here's the problem. Even with this dilemma, where one of the reasons why there's so much racial animus is everybody lies to them and tells them that they're exactly like us and that all their failures are just due to some kind of outside force, not something within them that you can't fix no matter how many millions of trillions of dollars you throw at it. While that might be true, that you have this racial animus because of that, largely, it really won't matter even if you start being honest with them. Because, I mean, look, it's a meme at this point, but, like, you can't even have, like, just the other day, I tweeted, I was surprised, I got 25,000 likes, which is a lot when you use the word nigger in your tweet. But let's see here. I tweeted out, there was a video that the Daily Mail put out that was a massive suspension bridge that they're building in China. It's massive. It's very impressive. Very impressive looking. It's scarier looking than any bridge I've ever been on. I've been on some pretty big bridges, or at least I thought until I saw the footage of this one. In fact, let's do that. Let's download this video if we can. Let me show you this bridge here. Building bridges. J Downloader is no longer downloading Twitter videos for some reason. Makes it my life a little bit harder. All right, this will work though. There we go. All right. Actually, this has my tweet on it. That'll make it easier. So yesterday morning, I tweeted out this video that does not want to load for some reason. I'll do it this way. Oh, that's why. Hang on. Technical difficulties. There we go. So this is the video. This is the bridge. I mean, it looks like it's miles up in the air, you know? Like, look at that canyon that goes over. Move this up. I mean, look at that shit. I mean, that's scary. That's scary up. And pretty impressive. And there's going to be, look, there's always the people go, oh, it's China, so it's going to be made of garbage. It's like, no, something tells me you're not going to see, something tells me there's going to be more bridges in America falling down than there are in China. Sorry. I hate to burst your bubble, but that's, I feel like I'd be safer on that bridge than a lot of bridges in America. And I retweeted it saying, the things you can build when you're not constantly paying for niggers and wars for Israel. And then I was surprised that I got, I guess it was at 22,000 likes last time I was there, which is a lot for me. That's a lot for me. So, yeah. But there was a lot of people, obviously in the replies, a lot of black people in the replies. Very upset by that. Very angry with that. And but that's the truth. That's basically, people want to know. It's funny, all these people that don't believe, you know, people that think that space is fake and that, you know, the Earth is flat and we didn't go to the moon. It's like, well, the reason we haven't gone back is black people. I mean, quite frankly, the reason why we don't live in some futuristic reality, like everyone's like, why don't we have flying cars? Well, partially because black people. It's basically your society as a ball and chain strapped to its ankle. And you're going to be dragging it for the rest of eternity unless you're allowed to cut the chain off. I had another point I was going to make with that, and then I got distracted by the big bridge. But anyway, doesn't really matter. So these black kids are all fucking pissed off. They go out, and they're having a good time at the pizza place, somehow paying for their food and not rioting or threatening anyone with violence. And the white chick, who I suspect the actress is probably Jewish, is, in fact, we'll look up after the show. I don't know if the credits will have her name. She looks very, either Jewish or Italian. She's one of the two. So she's sitting there waiting for the black man to show up at the pizza parlor, and he never shows up. And she gets mad and storms off. But if she'd waited just a little bit longer, Jordan would have been there. He would have been there, just he got held up at school. He was a little bit late, and back then no one had cell phones, and so that's just what happened. And so he's like, damn, I got to go to her house and let her know that I'm sorry for being late.
Yes.
Hi.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, fuck. Oh, fuck. That probably took a few years off of her life. But I like how she's got the speakeasy window. We need to bring back speakeasy windows, especially in today's world. I actually have one of the porn room, Carl's porn room, believe it or not, has a speakeasy window on one of the doors. And it works. It's not totally rusted to bits or anything like that. Actually, I'm going to keep that feature. But we need to have the speakeasy door. I kind of like that. I guess in today's world, you'd have to have bulletproof glass. But I don't know. There's some kind of, you know, it's one of those things that, well, we shouldn't have to have it. But it still seems kind of fancy. Like, so like bars on your window, that doesn't really seem fancy. Like, that seems like I live in a bad neighborhood. But speakeasy door on the door, it's like a nice little, it's like fancy because it's like a door for the door. It's like it's like you're so fancy that even your door has a door. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to start putting speakeasy doors on like all of my doors. Because, yeah, well, it does allow them to shoot in. It kind of also allows you to shoot out. So, it's, you know, and you can still have the peephole, right? You can still either have the peephole or you know, have a camera system as I do, an elaborate camera system. It makes the peephole, I guess, not as necessary. But we got to bring speakeasy doors back. Even if it comes with the occasional jump scare like this.
Yes.
Oh my God. that's why you always keep your hand on the speakeasy door so you can slam it shut before something terrible happens.
Hi, I'm a friend of Christine's from school, Jordan.
Oh yes.
I just realized how I should have edited that is I should have done this. Watch. This is how this should have been.
Yes.
Hi, I'm from my
This would have been funnier. All right, how about this?
Yes.
That's how it should have gone. See, that's why you need the speakeasy door. Yeah, if you have a speakeasy door, you can do this shit.
Yes.
Hi, Jordan. I'm afraid Christine isn't feeling very well.
Mom, I'll talk to him.
Please come in.
Ah, big mistake. Big mistake. When will the boomers learn? They won't learn. To her, this is like a beautiful moment. Oh, thank God, my daughter might actually fuck a black guy. This is like the 90s version of having a trans kid. This is amazing. All the ladies at the book club are gonna think that I'm the cool one because my daughter's fucking a black guy. So she's all mad still because he stood her up and. He's trying to explain, I couldn't make it because the teacher was making me stay late, and you know how I care about education. And so I'm sorry, it's really important that I go to college, and as much as I want to have pizza with you, it's just, you know, and she's like, I don't care. You left me there waiting. It's embarrassing enough that I agreed to go out with a black guy. So she kicks him out, and... That's right, the based brother with the Mach 1 Mustang comes home, and he's like, what the fuck is this shit? What the fuck is this what the fuck? What the fuck? Not so much the boomer mom. See, the brother gets it. The brother's like, okay. I gotta do something about this. And notice how there's no dad. I don't know. It's something about every one of these. And I guess it makes sense. Every one of these after school specials, or at least the vast majority of these kinds of propaganda shows they would put out. In fact, the other one we covered about the Nazi war criminal is the same kind of a situation. No dad. No dad. And I think the reason why they do the no dad thing, A, it's, you know, obviously it's normalizing to the kids that do have a dad, households without a dad. But it's also, who's more vulnerable? Who's more likely to soak up value systems from the television like a sponge? Is it going to be kids that have a complete home with a mother and father? Or is it going to be kids that have a working mom, no dad, and are basically raised by the television? So it just works. If you're going to write propaganda, don't have dads. Or if they are there, make them, you know, buffoons.
Honey, what was that all about?
Oh... It's nothing.
Well, who was that?
He's a guy from school.
Is he a friend of yours?
He was in the store.
Now mom's getting nervous.
Shot. No.
Oh, thank God. I thought maybe you were fucking him. No, we all know that would have made her happy. So she sits down and is like, it's okay. Oops, I went too fast, too far. Ah, I hate it when it does this. I gotta find my place now. Here we are. So then since the boomer mom totally fails at warning her daughter about black people, the based brother comes in. He's like, all right.
I just saw a black guy outside. Looked like he was coming from here. Was that black guy coming from here?
Look, what if he was, Billy?
This is the behavior that should be getting modeled, all right? This is the guy. He even has a cool car. An old beat-up Mustang. And he's like, wait a second. That black guy, he wasn't coming from here, was he? This is...
He's got a name, okay? His name is Jordan Murray.
Yeah, well, in my book, his name is Nigger.
What are you doing? You hanging out with him or something? Are you crazy?
Please, I have enough problems.
Yeah, hey, you have so many fucking problems. What problems exactly do you have?
Don't be looking for trouble. They killed that kid at the store. You were there.
Yeah, I was there, all right? And nobody knows who killed Walrus, but Jordan didn't do it.
Oh, we know. We know who did it. Come on. Come on. There was a time, like, there, when I was watching this initially, there was, I thought they were going to do the double whammy. I thought the big reveal at the end, I'm going to ruin it for you. There's no big reveal. I thought the big reveal at the end was going to be the guy in the mask was her racist brother. But thankfully, they didn't even do that. So that's what they would have done today, right? Like that. That's what it's expanded and inflated to the level of it. Not only would he have, it would have been him, the racist incel brother guy. He would have been part of some vast conspiracy. He would have done it so that black people would get in trouble, right? But now we all know who did it. We all know who did it. Don't act like we don't know who did it. So then back at the school the next day, she discovers that the black chick is no longer her friend because she doesn't like white women dating black men.
Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Carol.
By the way, none of this behavior is framed as negative, right? So the makers of this film are essentially, if not condoning necessarily, they're certainly not criticizing or even having any kind of social commentary on her behavior in a negative way. The fact that a black woman it's okay for her to have racial solidarity, for her to want to protect the integrity of her race, that's actually all 100% understandable, and that was very common in the 1990s. You could have black people talk about black power in those terms in a mainstream television show and without being the bad guy at all. And you know, they could be the main character that you're supposed to be emulating. And they're all about black power and I've talked about how if you watch Def Comedy Jam or whatever the fuck HBO would have late at night when they'd have black stand-up comedians talking to a room full of mostly white boomers, laughing their ass off to black people basically talking shit to their face. And that was all totally fine. That was, in fact, if anything, it's a positive thing. It's a positive thing. You see, I think it's because the reason why some white people went along with this is they assumed that one of the issues with the lack of black achievement, because they had so much white guilt and they felt so responsible for the lack of black achievement, they felt, this is how fucked up it got, I think, psychologically, they felt that one of the reasons why black people were not achieving in white societies was because of a confidence problem. They were essentially like children that had been abused. And that if all it would take, just like children that have been abused, that if you maybe with some encouragement, maybe with some supportive, not just like social programs, but just attitudes towards blacks, just like, oh, that's fine that you're very pro-black, and that's good because that shows it was almost like a positive, because it was like, oh, finally black people are overcoming this insecurity that they must have, right? This totally irrational, by the way, insecurity. Like, I really think that the psychology of it went that deep, where they were thinking that I like seeing black people saying, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud, because it makes me feel like they're overcoming some kind of insecurity that was holding them back. That if they can somehow get over this hump, this feeling of inferiority that we, by the way, we're the ones that implanted that into their heads. You know, white people, black people would have been doing just fine had we not, you know, basically psyoped them into thinking they were inferior when this whole time they weren't. I really do think that that's why it wasn't just tolerated, it was encouraged for black people to have explicit expressions of pride on a very regular basis in the 1990s. And just look, if you think about it, I mean, in the 90s, a lot of the rap songs were about this. If you actually listen to the lyrics of 90s rap, it's very racial. And in fact, just the names of a lot of these black groups were very racial, very pro-black. And I think white people, even like Wiggers and shit, listening to this shit in the 90s, were like, well, that's fine. It's good. It's good. It's good that they're getting over that insecurity. And again, I think it also, the other side of that is, it was a little bit of hubris. It was the fact that white people ultimately, even though on an intellectual level, that's maybe how they felt, there was, on an instinctual level, they also kind of knew, well, I mean, at the end of the day, black people are never going to compete with us, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think there was that kind of hubris going on, like this, let them shake their fist in the air and say black power. Oh, how adorable. How adorable. Like, that's never going to go anywhere. I mean, come on. They're fucking black people, you know? Like, I think there was these dueling sensations inside the minds of the white people that allowed this to happen and to blossom to the degree that it's, I don't know if blossom's the right word, but grow to the degree that it's at now.
You know, I'm not asking for your approval or anything. It's none of my business anyhow. But you and I are friends. That's the way you saw it, huh?
Sure.
Chris, you were okay.
We had some laughs.
Yeah, we did.
But you're never gonna know.
Never. No matter how much you hang around Jordan.
What? You mean about being African American?
You don't understand at all. You don't know what it's like seeing our men making fools out of themselves chasing after their white girl trophies.
You guys are calling yourself niggers.
So, she's basically like, you'll never know what it's like to be a nigger. And she's like, what? What? And again, this isn't portrayed as something like ignorance or some kind of hate. Or anything like that. This is supposed to be a normal thing that white people need to. You need to understand that you'll never understand what it's like to be black. Look, and on some level, it's true. You won't, and that's a good thing. It's a good. You'll also never know what it's like to have Down syndrome. You'll also never know what it's like to be Chinese or to be a platypus. You know what I mean? Like, but there is a difference. There's a difference. And it's weird because they're tacitly admitting there's a difference that you'll never understand. And look, likewise, black people will never understand what it's like to be white, ever. They don't even know what per capita means. Oh, that's what I was getting at with the bridge thing. So with the bridge thing, what I was getting at was, even if you were able to explain, you know, the animus that's created by them thinking that there's some kind of outside force that's causing their inability to perform at the level of white people, even if you were honest about it and you said, oh, this is why, they wouldn't believe you. Maybe, you know, and I mean, like, by and large, a handful of blacks even now, I think, get it. Some blacks would get it. But a lot of blacks wouldn't believe you. They would, or they would lack, you know, in the same way they lack the ability to understand per capita. Like, I don't, some of them, that's willful ignorance, right? They want to act like they don't know what that means when they really kind of know what it means. But a lot of them just, they don't, they can't. They just see one number is bigger than another number. They see that more white people did a crime than black people, and so therefore white people commit more crime, not realizing that there are many times over more white people than there are black people. And that, you know, that's, you have to take that into account when looking at statistics. This is all, you guys, yeah, this is all easy. This is like third grade math for white people, but this is like rocket science, you know, like this is like, you know, this is never, you're not going to be able to get through to a lot of black people. They can't figure, they really can't, they lack the ability to figure this out. And so even if you were able to explain to them, oh, actually, it's just because you're not as smart. First of all, I mean, then why are you living together? It's kind of like, then it just, it does seem cruel. Because it's almost like you're getting a bunch of kids from the special class and you're putting them in a physics class. And then at the end of the day, when they all, when, you know, none of them know what the fuck's going on, you sit them down and say, well, the reason you're going to get an F in this class that I'm making you take anyway is you're retarded. You see, the reason why you're struggling with the concept of quantum physics is you're retarded. And you can't even tie your shoe. So even, you know, even like simple shit like the, you know, the physics behind like gravity and stuff like that, your retard brain just can't figure it out. But we're going to keep you in the class anyway. We're still going to make you sit down next to all the other kids that do get it. Of course, their education will be completely obliterated by the fact that you're always going to be asking questions because you're never going to get it. And so instead of just teaching the kids that would get it in any kind of efficient and effective way, instead, we're going to force you to be in the class and then just, you'll never get it. And then the kids, the smart white kids, will also not get it maybe by the end of the semester because I was too busy trying to get you to stop playing with yourself during class because you're retarded. That's basically what's going on here. So even if you could explain it to black people and just be like, yeah, actually, the reason why you guys aren't achieving is because you're retarded. Well, then they shouldn't be in the class. Why are they in the class? It's not good for either group. And their response would be violence. They would think that you were just being insulting. Or let's say they accept it and they say, okay, well, I mean, then you have to basically have the equivalent of the special ed class in your society, right? Like if the TARDs can't be in the physics class, then they need to have a special ed class that they can go to all day and play with shapes and colors and eat crayons. You know, I guess that's what we got to do. And that would just be a bottomless money pit. You would have to build entire societies, you know, parallel societies for black people to live in. And you'd have to, just like the TARD class, you'd have to, you know, pay teachers and, you know, people to babysit them all day long and wipe their fucking ass when they shit their pants and stuff. I mean, it's the same. It would be the same fucking thing. So why not just not have them? Anyway. So she's bitter and mad. So you'll never know what it's like to be black.
Don't you see, Chris? It's not you. Things are the way they are.
I guess so.
Well, that's like the only smart thing they said in this whole thing. And that's unfortunately a lesson. All the boomers should have listened to that part of it, just that part of it. Things are the way they are. I know you don't like it, but that's the way they are.
Doesn't matter now, though. Jordan stood me up yesterday, and he came over to my house trying to explain.
Hold up. He came all the way over to your house.
Yeah, but I told him to forget it.
That was a crazy dangerous thing for him to do, coming into your neighborhood.
It was a crazy dangerous thing for... I just hit all kinds of wrong buttons there, as you probably tell. All my buttons were all misaligned for a minute, so I don't know what you heard there. It was supposed to be a smooth transition from her saying that a black man going to a white neighborhood was a brave thing to do because it was so dangerous. So fucking dangerous for him to do that. But that's, you know, that's, God, don't you wish that was a reality? So anyway, the black guy talks to his friend who's now, you know, even though he was all about black power a minute ago, he's now coming around and saying, you know what? Maybe them white bitches ain't so bad.
I ever tell you about the time I dealt with a white chick?
No,
I'm serious, man. Seventh grade.
Get out of here.
Yo, man, truth be told, I'm fly at the time. Old girl.
So he talks about how he banged a white chick once and how not all white chicks are bad, believe it or not. There's a handful of good ones. And maybe he's got one of the good ones.
Okay, so you found one.
Come on, man. There's more than just one. Look, I saw you looking at her. Don't let Ram hang you up.
It's not Ram, man. It's everything.
The fret. I mean, said I can't get no satisfaction. The girls are all around. Boy, none of them want to get with me. My threats are fresh and I'm looking deaf. Yo, what's up? What a L.O.C. The girls...
So, his friend says it's okay for him to bang white chicks. So he's like, well, in that case, I'm going to go try to find that white bitch so we can patch things up.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Thanks. I just had to return these books.
I wanted to talk...
Oh, yeah, it's on now.
About yesterday?
Jordan, I just wanted to say...
I know.
Here you go.
Oh, yeah. So they patch everything up with a meet cute part two. And then they go for a walk in the schoolyard.
So?
I just wanted to say...
What?
I don't know. Just that I understand.
Get about going to college?
Oh, I can't believe you're asking that question.
I can't either.
I don't know, you know, I...
And that's basically the end. That's literally basically the end. Is they get together and racism is fixed. Fixed. It's all fixed now. It's all, you know, everything's good. Everything's all. I'm looking for a button here. I can't fucking. OBS needs to have like a filter search tab for these long fucking lists of things that it requires you make. It's so annoying. It's so annoying. I can't have a button for every fucking thing. Every fucking thing. And now I'm. I had a button for this. Now it's ruined. Now it's ruined.
Free at last!
It's ruined!
Free at last!
It's fucking ruined!
Thank you, God!
This isn't even what I was looking for.
We are free at last!
It's ruined. It's totally. The timing's all gone now. Timing's all gone. Where is it? Now I have to find it. Oh, there it is.
Uh-oh, problem.
Come on, fulfill. This is the 90s, man.
Man, it's the 90s.
Ma, it's the 90s.
I can be anything I want to be. It's the 90s.
This is the 90s.
Hey, it's the 90s.
It's the 90s. Parents are supposed to discuss sex with their children.
It's the 90s.
It's the 90s. Where interracial love is 100% promoted. All right. You know what's funny? To give you an idea of how much they've been able to change this social dynamic, you would have lost your broadcast license if you tried airing something like this, let's say, 30 years before? Probably 30 years, right? Because that would have been, 20 years. I'd say 20 years. 20, 25 years before they aired this. You went from an environment where if you had aired this as CBS, you would have, at the very least, have faced like congressional hearings. They would have said this was communist propaganda. I mean, if you did this when McCarthy was around, you'd really be fucked. You'd never work again. And in just really less than a generation, I bet you had parents that thought, this is a really important thing for my children to watch, especially all those single working moms that we had featured earlier. All right, guys. So that is Different Worlds. I know it's kind of, the ending was kind of let down. I was expecting there to be some twist at the end. We're like, oh, and the crazy masked man. It was actually her brother, the racist. And now, missed opportunity. They could have done that. They could have, see, I could have written this shit for them. I would have done it. I would have been way more subversive than they would have been. Anyway, let's take a look over at Entropy. All right, we have historian Adam Egitt. Historian Adam Egitt says, have you done a stream on George Wallace? I am fascinated by his 68 and 72 presidential runs. Wallace won 5 states in 68 as an independent and then seemed on the verge of winning 72 Dem nomination over the busing issue until a lone nut, quote unquote, shot and paralyzed him, effectively ending his chances. I've covered him to some degree, but I've never covered him. I don't think he would have won on, maybe he would have won like the, I have to look. I don't know how close he was to winning the Democratic nomination, but he would not have won the presidency by the time, you know, in 72. Plus, I mean, even if he didn't get shot by, I'd have to look in that. It's almost never a lone nut, but maybe it was. By 72, I mean, you would have had, I mean, you think they were tough on Trump the first time around. If you would have had all the power summoned by Norman Lear and all the heads of every network and every newspaper. I mean, there's no way he would have fucking won. There's no fucking way he would have won. But yeah, maybe he's worth taking a closer look at. Thank you for the support there. Then we got Vihapu's. I don't even know what this. Why do you guys? I feel like sometimes you guys just jam on the keyboard for your name.
Vihapu Hinjataja.
Like, what the fuck am I? What am I supposed to do with that? Yiddish propaganda is effective enough that they have gotten many Finns to believe. Oh, you're Finnish. That's why. That explains it. Well, at least you have an excuse. At least you have an excuse to have a name like
Vihapu Hinjataja.
The Finnish are just like, how many consonants, different consonants, can we put in like a word with random vowels in between them? Yiddish propaganda is effective enough that they have gotten many Finns to believe that Germany and the Nazis were the devil, even though Finland would have been absorbed into the Soviet Union in World War II without their contribution. Well, yeah, history, most people are completely ignorant of history, and that's just the post-World War II Western civilization is just, it's 100% under the control of, or under the thumb of Jews. It just is. It is. It just is. It's kind of, look, it's kind of amazing, honestly, that they were able to pull it off. And it really, yeah, like, in a way, you gotta admire part of it, like, a little bit. Like, I mean, obviously, not, maybe admire is the wrong word, but you know what I mean? Like, you gotta respect the game a little bit, like, fuck, man. Fuck, like, you guys, I mean, I know you guys are known for being tricky, but you tricked so many people, like, so many. And you spent so much money doing it, and in fact, you made so much money doing it. That's the fucked up part of it. That's the fuck that they made us. We paid for it. We paid to watch this shit. People still, right now, they line up and pay to watch this shit. Even now, some people have subscriptions to this shit. It's amazing, but it. You gotta respect it. You gotta respect it. Yeah, pretty fucked up. But yeah, that's why I do the show though, because so many people are blind to it. It's a relatively new technology. What are you gonna do? Historian Adam Egget says, "Have you heard about Blowback, the new book about OKC? The author Margaret Roberts claims it exposes the official story, but I'm not optimistic that Simon & Schuster will allow the whole truth like your PetCon series did. Guess we will see." I have not heard about it, but I would be interested in reading it. If she sources stuff, maybe she's got some interesting new facts. I will add that to things to look for. All right. Man of Low Moral Fiber says, "I came across a yearbook for the LucasArts game studio from the 90s that was uploaded online. It was bittersweet to see offices that used to be almost exclusively white. Everyone looked so happy." Yeah, any technology job in the 80s and 90s, even going into the 2000s, it was all white. 100% white. They were, I would say they were as white as a lot of movies were, right? That's kind of how you could sort of judge what the demographics are in a middle-class work environment. Is it probably very closely, it's hard to say, you know, which is the chicken, which is the egg, but it probably very closely tracks with the demographics in movies. Volga German says, "Jews are just another form of evolutionary pressure on white people. We'll be fine." Well, I you know, in long, you know, on a long enough timeline, yes. Tyler W05. That's fine. All right, let's turn that down. Okay. We'll enjoy the stream in the morning. Just wanted to give support and help keep the ship floating. I hope all is well with you. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, things are mostly well. But thank you very much, Tyler W05. Brody says, hi, Devin. Hopefully this donation works. First time at Entropy. Keep up the good work. Well, I appreciate that. And yes, it did work. So far, so good with Entropy. They don't do payouts immediately like Odyssey did. So I haven't got a payout from them yet, but at least I don't think so. Unless it was like very recently. Oh, that's right. Maybe I think I might have got it. I'll have to double check because I think they pay out like on the 8th or something like that. So I might have just got a payout. Steve, just Steve. Speaking of cards, everyone's favorite 90s card. Devin, I remember that haircut being called the bowl cut when I had it. Thanks for what you do and for doing it in such a consistent and reliable manner. Mighty white of you, sir. Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, it is about consistency. It's always about that's you know, you can't be I'll be honest. I almost didn't stream tonight and I was like, "Nope, the show must go on. The show must go on." And went on it did. So I appreciate that, Steve, just Steve. Man of low moral fiber says, proud of you for saying nigger on Twitter. I know you were saying we had to class it up at one point, but saying nigger is classier than saying black people or African American, which is trashy. Well, we do have to class it up. You don't just unnecessary. I said you have to be strategic with your niggers. You can't just go around saying nigger unnecessarily. You have to, there has to be a point to it. And there was a point to it. And it worked. It worked better than I thought. I was like, well, this will either get me banned or it'll do really well. It did pretty well. I was surprised. But it got people thinking too, I think. And look, it's not that I want to normalize people walking around saying nigger all the time. But I do want to take away that mental trauma. Because that's what happens. People hear the word nigger and they have like a, you know, like, it's like they heard, you know, I don't think there's another word like it. Like there's like a, you feel like you're in danger when you hear that word. And I'd like to not have that be a thing. I don't want white people to hear a word and feel unsafe. And you know what I mean? Like let's be honest. That's essentially what's happening. Man of low moral fiber again says, one of the reasons that niggers hate the word nigger is because N towers are more impressive than anything ever built by Africans. Womp womp. With that said, here's an N to build off of. Well, there you go. Well, sadly, we only have the N. Bessemer.
Good gorilla.
Hi, Devin. When I see a white guy with a black girl, I feel pity. Pity that he couldn't get a white girl. When I see a white girl with a black guy, I feel scared for her. Thanks for all you do. Well, there you go. It is different. People don't understand that. There's some women that take offense to that reality, that they think it's like you trying to excuse, well, oh, so you're saying race mixing for men is not as bad? And it's, sorry, but like in a way it kind of isn't. I mean, it's still bad, but like it is kind of less bad. It just is. That's why they promote it in the way that they do with the pairing that's on the screen now. That's why they have the black guy with the white girl, because that is more destructive to the white race. It just is. And again, not that the other is better, Or, I mean, it is a little better, but like, you know what I mean? Not that it's good. It's not better. It's less bad. It's slightly less bad. Let's see here. Man of low moral fiber again says, personally, I think society would be better off if people did walk around saying nigger. I mean, I don't know. I think to the degree that it's necessary, but it, the thing is, like, you don't have to be insulting all the time for no reason. You know what I mean? Because you shouldn't, let me put it this way, you shouldn't not say nigger because you're afraid to say it. You should not say it because you are you're being polite, and white people are polite. And so if you're just walking, like if you walked into a store, or let's say you walked into like a Starbucks to get a coffee or something, and there's a black guy behind the counter, you're not going to be like, hey, nigger, you know, like, like out of nowhere, just like call him and like, why? Why would you do that? Or even like, you know, say, I wonder if that nigger's got my coffee ready. Like, you know, why would you do that? Like, it's not necessary. And we're white people, and we, you know, there is some decorum that we have to maintain. But at the same time, yeah, that word shouldn't have magical powers, is what I'm getting at. All right, going over to Rumble. Let's get ready to Rumble. We got Corsica. Says, hey, Devin, I hit the like button because I'm not mentally defect. Thanks for all the great content. Last stream was so friggin' funny when you would pause on the incel kid and play his theme song. Yeah, it was, he was, there's a little bit of that guy in all of us, right? Let's see here. Then we got... Scroll down. That's what I gotta do. The problem is I don't even bother loading that fucking plugin anymore. Gravy Bear says, would you go on Jake Shields' podcast? Yeah, I probably would. I've never talked to him before. I think we follow each other on Twitter. Rupert V21 says, Jeet here. Around blacks, never relax. Even the Jeets get it. Replay gang. See you on Saturday, Captain Stack. Well, I appreciate that. So, yeah. In fact, Indians and blacks mix about as well as oil and water. That which is also going to be an issue as we get more diverse. We're going to have ethnic conflicts we don't even understand that we're not even a part of. S Nightfire, I think. Now that JFK stuff is quasi mainstream, would you cover Princess Diana? Relevant today with Dodi Fayed being pro-Palestinian. Lots of weird things behind that accident. That's a topic I know nothing about. You know what's weird though? Carl, when I was cleaning out the porn room, had lots of just books that weren't porn books, just like books. In fact, if they weren't, you know, disgusting, like if they were actually in a tub that was sealed off and I didn't burn them because I was like, oh, well, some of them I burned because like they were retarded because like he was a hoarder. He had just hoarded everything. And one of the things he hoarded was books. He had, as an example, he had three copies I always forget her name. I'll look it up. No, that's not right. It's, what's her name? Starring, she's in Meryl Streep. I don't know. I don't know why I'm blanking on her name. This is the second time during a stream I couldn't remember her name. He had three copies of Meryl Streep's autobiography. I burned all three. He had lots of books that were biographies or autobiographies of Hollywood starlets from like the golden age of Hollywood. And he had lots and lots of books about Princess Di. Like lots. Well, I mean, like, to me, five is a lot. I have zero. He had like five books, like thick books, like hard, you know, hardcover books about Princess Di. In fact, I think you guys in the UK dodged a bullet. He had a lot of books about, like, tourism books about the UK for some reason. He seemed to have some kind of British fetish or something, because he had like guidebooks and, like, I mean, he had like 10 to 20 of these books about, you know, how to get around in London, and, you know, they're all very old. And it was, the sad thing was, I'd flip through them and like everyone in the book was white, you know. I'm just like, oh, if only, oh, time forgotten. Anyway, so the, yeah, it might be worth looking at some point. I just don't know. I know nothing about it. So I'd have to maybe even like talk to a British person about it. Chucky Extremist Circus says the Hotel Patel episode rerun was hard to get through. Anyway, stay away from the Magic Masala Doritos. They're so fucking strong, you'll demand reparations from the British Empire. The Magic Masala Dorito? I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. Is that like a word for Indian that I'm not familiar with? I'm going to look up Magic Masala Dorito. Oh, it's like a... What is it?